Welcome to our duty cast, everybody. Thank the light.
Diarrhea is undefeated.
That's not who I am. I am not your undefeated diarrhea. I am the kingfisher flashes above the pond.
Who told you that?
I have my ways.
Oh my God.
Justin's done.
I am your great bloody bastard.
I am your, the way of the leaf doesn't work.
This is bullshit.
Welcome to the Wheel of Time podcast. We are your true source, the purest light, your companion cast, a warder for this journey through all things Wheel of Time. We have come to the penultimate. This has been, we are at episode 8 during our rewatch, The Eye of the World. And this has, I realized today how bummed I am that we weren't able to bang this out the way I had planned. Like everyone out there, we're like, you know what? Let's not stretch this out. Let's keep them in our heads. We'll do 2 a week. We'll get it done. We banged out the first 6 and then my life went sideways and then the trailer came out. So I think it's still taken us 8 weeks to pull this off.
Dang it.
I know. It's a bummer. We're going to get some time off still. We still don't have to record for a couple weeks. But yeah, getting to this, like, unfortunately, I kind of felt they like, oh, finally. And I'm bummed that that was my first thought, because this is a great episode of a great series, a great journey that we've taken over the last year. And
hey, buddy, fuck that face. I saw that.
Everyone else's first thoughts.
Well, I'm going to go Jeremy. Yeah, the cold open was shitty.
Oh, I had so many issues with this cold open.
I think they shouldn't have spoken in the old tongue, because it's just like, who are these people? What are they saying? Why are they supposed to be important? What are they supposed to mean to me? Like, the one thing you get is loose there and tell them, and it's like, oh, okay. So I just think that there was a way they could have done that scene and had it like be more impactful.
I think that the Dragon Reborn should have just played that episode for the cold open.
You mean the Winter Dragon?
Or the Winter Dragon. Yeah, I think they should have just, I think the episode of Winter Dragon should have been the cold open for this episode.
It would have been equally as confusing. Yeah.
They just superimpose 2 different actors.
No, just wait. They don't have to. Like,
I'm totally cool with it. You're right. Absolutely. Yes, it totally took me out of the episode when they first start up and they're speaking this weird language and the language doesn't flow. It's not an easy language. And I feel like
it's very Slavic-y.
Yeah. And I feel like it took away from the performances of the actors.
Definitely.
You know, it seems like they're trying like really hard to say these words that just don't make any sense. And they're trying hard to emote. And there's a lot going on right there. And they just can't do it because of the weird language that they made up. And maybe that's just me, but...
You mean the language that has 10,000 words for the Dark One, but not a single word for baby?
That's the one. Yeah, of course. Well, and like also she kind of like lays out something. She says something about the taint and like kind of warns them like, well, what do you think's going to happen? It's like they had no fucking clue.
They had no clue.
Yeah.
I mean, they're doing it to, you know, accentuate his arrogance. And that was his downfall, because he was just like, well, I'm going to do it either way. But he did have it right. He was like, we got to do this with the male and the female half.
Yeah.
But she was just like, I refuse to be a part of it, you know?
This one, I will give you, I think it would have had more of an impact if they had just spoken it in English. Just because I think, again, I'm gonna leave it open to the people that are only watching the show.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot here that you needed.
Yes.
For the ending of this episode to make any sense at all.
They tried to button it all up, unfortunately, in this last episode.
Yeah, they crammed it, a lot of it in.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they try to, okay, like, this is Luz Theron Telamon, right? And people are going to be like, who? They don't know who that is.
Nope.
Because they haven't talked about that. And they're like, oh, you're the Dragon Reborn, which totally not canon as far as the books go.
Which, again, they needed to say in English to make that fucking...
Absolutely.
The Dragon Reborn. Remember the Dragon Reborn, because it's going to come back.
Yes.
At the end of this episode. Big time.
Big time. Big yeah. time. I do like how they made him completely look completely different than Rand, right? Because then when Ishmael goes, like, you don't look anything like him. You know, it's kind of cool. Like,
but he's like, I can still see it, and I can still see you in there, you know?
You're still super stubborn.
That bothers me that in a world where the wheel exists and they believe in it and that people get spun back out of it, they're always surprised that they don't look exactly like they did in their last life.
I know.
Fucking get over it, people. Like, it's a new vessel. It's the same pilot, but it's a new vessel. Like, get a grip.
Yeah, it's so hard to wrap their heads around. You're believing in like multiple lives and reincarnation, but nope, I can't figure out that you look different this time. That's just blowing my mind, bro.
Yeah, well, it is weird because this guy has been alive for 3,000 years, basically. The other guy died a long time ago.
Yeah, he hasn't changed. He's probably been spun out in the wheel a couple of times and didn't have an impact.
And I don't know if you guys noticed, too, he calls her the Tamerlan, not the Amerlin.
Yeah, and what's up with that? I wanted to ask you that, too, because like, I thought he was Tamerlan, see.
Yes, so in the books, the male... So there's like a dual, almost like a, the Romans had two counselors or something like that. They had two people in charge at the same time. And it was almost the same thing for the Aes Sedai. They had a man, he was the Tamerlan, and a woman, she was the Amerlin.
Okay.
That was how it was. But he calls her Tamerlan, like she's the one who's in charge, so there's not two.
Was Tamerlan, maybe Tamerlan is just the word for dual Amerlins?
Yeah, maybe it's like a not... you know, it's just kind of like that's the title and there's two or maybe even more.
We are Tamerlan.
The royal we.
Yeah. The proverbial. Yeah. The proverbial we. Yeah. Well, and obviously like it's a futuristic society. What were they called? What are those things that fly in? Were they called Joe cars? I thought they were Joe copters or something.
Show cars. I think they're called show cars.
Oh yeah. And then there was some kind of Joe copter too.
Yes. Very cool.
They run on happiness and dreams?
Yes.
I think they run on the one power, right?
Yeah, they do run on the one power.
Really?
But the happy one power.
So can everybody use it a little bit? Or is the one power just out there like electricity for people to plug into?
They don't really go into it, but they imagine you can make a Terran girl, right?
Hold on.
That can... go ahead.
Wait for it. Okay. Here it is.
There you go. Okay, so you have a horsey, a horsey that's a Terran girl. And that horsey Terran girl can like levitate, but it can also levitate and lift, I don't know, maybe 2,000 pounds. So you just have one guy who can channel into that horsey, and then it just lifts everything, and then boom, they can like use it as a bus or something like that.
And it can just always, it'll just always have...
Yeah, or maybe you don't even need to. You just like put your hand on something and then... Boom, it takes off. Because there's certain things that you don't have to be able to channel into that actually work for everybody.
So the power is love and gravity.
The power is love. Yeah, obviously.
Always, dude.
It's always love.
Love and gravity. Yeah, I wrote down that like, yeah, the cold open was just pure exposition for people who didn't know.
Well, and is that Perrin Deeson?
Maybe. Yeah, they don't really go into that.
I mean, do you think that that's where that is? I mean, if we're talking about the books, that's where it would have been, right?
I would think so. Yeah, that's the capital, right?
Right. I thought so. And then, you know, but then the eye, but that's also where the eye is, too.
Yeah.
Right. I wonder if they're gonna go back and say, so the eye, they call the eye, you know, where they have the Dark Ones. Yeah, exactly. Where they have the Dark Ones prison. But I think they're going to go back and say that that's not where the Dark Ones prison is. They'll probably retcon that.
My thinking is that those bigger seals like that, it's going to be, there's going to be one in Camelin. There's going to be one in Tarvalin. Like, you know, got to go find the Horcruxes, man.
Yep.
I think they're going to be much bigger than a palm-sized disc that can just be passed around from person to person. I think they're going to be attached to a physical place. I think it's easier for people to have to wrap their heads around. And then
we have to travel here and battle him. We have to travel there.
Right. He has to, you know, there's probably one in Tyr, you know, there's probably one in Falm. And like each time he fights, you know, has a major fight is when one will break, you know.
I could see them actually saying like they're never going to use a seal again until the very end. Like this seal broke.
Well, that's what they did in the books. Well, no, a couple of broken ones show up, actually.
Yeah.
After he fights Ishmael and Falm, one shows up.
But they could say, like, this one broke. That allowed Lanfear and Ishmael out and all the Forsaken, whoever they want to have. And then after that, they could just say, okay, there's one more, and that lets the Dark One free.
What was the, oh damn it, I didn't write it down. The shard that Moraine was holding at the end, what'd she call it?
It was just a Quendiyar. It's just a piece of it's Heartstone.
They're gonna need a piece of Quendiyar from each seal for the last battle.
You think so?
I hope not. Because well, actually,
Des is like, Des just throws it out there.
How else can you prove that the seal is broken?
Well, think of it like this way, right? As think of his prison like a pipe. And when they sealed it the first time, it's like slowly been eroding. So the hole keeps getting bigger and bigger, 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 bigger. But it's still not, the pipe's like this, but the prison's like this. And it keeps getting bigger.
No wonder your poops fall out.
Yeah.
But then think of it like this. Luz Theron, you know, or Rand says, finally, he goes, look, he goes, I can't just patch this little part. I need to clean it out and reforge it completely to make it strong. Does that make sense?
Yep.
It's like I have to start. Oh, it's like I have to start all over again. I can't just fix this brick wall by replacing the 30 bricks that are broken. I have to tear the wall down completely and rebuild it, or it'll never be structurally, you know, good enough to hold them
for another 3,000 years.
Well, the whole theory is that you have both sides of the source this time to seal them in when Rand's going about it, because he does like, I'm not gonna make that mistake again and not, you know, and you got to think the first time he went with 100 companions, the next time he goes with what, Jeremy? Three? Just him and two females.
It's not even that they use the both sides of the source, they use the true source too.
Oh.
Think Harry Potter and Voldemort.
Exactly. It totally, that is exactly what it is. They totally have this connection, and then they use his body to pull the true source through. And then that's what. They use that to seal the prison as well. Did you notice that when he goes in? I know, Desmond, you notice this. When he goes over to the baby and you're like, there's got to be something extra with that baby. He has that ring, the Ishmael. He has that same ring.
What do we think that is?
It's got to be an Angreal or a Saw-Angreal.
Well, yeah, but like for what?
For what? Like for... Just...
Or do you think that's the men's version of the Aes Sedai ring?
No, it's more important than that, because... When he starts to channel at Moraine, it lights up in his hand a little bit. So,
and they keep showing it every time he does anything.
I think it's just a powerful Angreal to make him stronger.
You know, they've never mentioned an Angreal either. You think they're just going to like say there's no Angreals, there's just Saw Angreals.
She says the man that she hands him is an Angreal. She doesn't say Saw Angreal.
No, she says Saw Angreal.
She does. She says Saw Angreal.
Oh, fuck you guys.
My notes against your notes.
Look, I was really sick and all cold medicined up today, so these notes may not be great.
Very nice. Well, thank you for being here, Justin.
Yeah.
So we go with, and then we jump from that into the Blight.
What are those, like, stacked up lumps of poop? Oh, that's Melchior, the majestic Melchior, the Seven Towers. Well, it looks like piles of poop. I mean, I'm glad that it was included, but it's like, what? It just looks like anthills or something. Like, do they not poke like a tower? Like, oh, you could see a little bit of a tower or like something that actually resembles a city.
Not even close. They're just stacks.
Just literally, it's like they could be literal, just random mounds. Like, okay, that's where land's from.
I noticed the first time they showed land too, I was like looking at what he's wearing. I want to say costume, but his outfit. His outfit, I was like, that's like a 1980s ninja costume.
Yeah,
100%. It looks like a Halloween costume.
Yeah, if you put like one of those, you know, head masks on, he could be an American ninja. Totally.
Hell yeah. Go to, oh, fuck. I just had it and I lost it.
Don't worry, you can edit it out.
What's the movie with the guy who's the gymnast and the karate guy?
Gymkata.
Gymkata. And what's the town that they go to? It's some Azistan. It's some made up Astan.
I just remember him running to the center of the town where there's a pommel horse conveniently located.
Why wouldn't there be?
Well, every town center has a pommel horse in it, obviously. And then he just uses it to kick everybody.
What do you tie your horse to?
Obviously.
A pommel horse. That's why they call it that. Parmistan. Parmistan. Lan is the lord of Parmistan. So Rand takes a nap in the Blight, like you do. Why not? Like, we got plenty of time.
Some people can just sleep anywhere.
Jesus fucking Christ. And so he has He has himself a little nightmare. And God, I fucking, every time I see it, I love the scene where he pushes the arrow into his eye.
Yeah, the arrow into his face. It's so awesome.
God, and it takes away his mask at the same time. Fuck, that is so great.
It is cool. But the problem I had with it?
Tell me the problem you had with it, Jeremy.
Yeah. Oh, shocker. Jeremy's got a problem with it.
Why would he be wearing a mask? He doesn't know what he looks like.
It's not a mask.
It is a mask, though.
Because it's Dream, though. It's like, aren't those guys always in the dream so far?
He's just like, look, I'm not going to try to terrify you anymore. I just want to let you know I'm a real person by pushing this arrow into my face.
He's fucking dumb enough to be surprised that Rand doesn't look like Luz. So, of course, he thinks that Rand is going to recognize him instantly.
Yeah. What do you mean? You don't? I'm your own friend, Ishii, you know?
Remember 3,000 years ago, we kicked it all the time? Like, hello?
Remember when you died and then you were reborn and we've never met?
Yeah.
It's totally cool. I'm going to wear this mask, though, so you don't recognize me.
That old chestnut.
The old flaming eye mask chestnut.
Well, I feel like that is his kind of like how he looks, like you said, from working with the true power. And then he's kind of like, okay, I want you to talk to me. So I want to look like a not terrifying monster. That's the way I took it. But
him as a human is the mask.
Is the mask. That's what I think.
Well, you're giving them a lot of credit. I just don't see that.
Well, I like to give people credit. Not you, because you have terrible ideas, sir.
What do you see it like, Jeremy? When you close your eyes, what do you picture?
I hate it. It's stupid.
Seven. Do you imagine seven neatly stacks of poop all next to each other?
I do.
Nope. Just six spokes in a wheel going round and round.
Exactly.
And round.
Never seven. Never seven.
Never seven. Never seven.
Never seven spokes in a wheel, because that would make no sense. No one would ever do that.
So says you. I still don't understand what Moraine's tell is. I feel like she drags her foot like Kaiser Soze. I don't know.
She's the most bow-legged woman I've ever met. It looks like she's walking in a half circle.
She has nine toes on her left foot.
She's a farter. Just follow the smell. I know you've gotten used to it, Lance. You don't even fucking notice it anymore. But just follow that smell. You'll get to her.
When you guys are on the road, you have beans every night. What do you expect?
Beans and
bread, beans and hardtack.
So of course, again, they're cramming everything into this episode. So Lan, you know, they're basically halfway through the blight, and Rand's like, "So what are we doing?
What's the plan?
What? Yeah, what's
I
next?
Know." He's like, "Okay, I'm ready to do this. What are we supposed to do?"
And so she,
what are we doing?
Quickly, I mean, if he is the dragon, I understand how she's like, you'll fucking figure it out. But still, give the kid an idea. And so this is when she gives him, you know, the most powerful Cyangreal ever. That's,
you came and just, yeah, you just yanked him out of his village. And you're like, not even going to give him a fucking pep talk. He's like, you got this. He's like, I just came to terms that I'm this guy. And now I'm supposed to figure it out. Like, give me a fucking break, lady.
Now, was she afraid? Now, I know they kept fooling us that, oh, we don't know who the dragon is. But if she truly thought he was the dragon, training him probably would have been dangerous, right? To have him using the power while they're just wandering aimlessly around, and who knows if he's going to go mad or something.
And that's, she says that basically. She basically says that. She says, if every time that, if I were to train you, then every time you touch the power, it brings you closer to madness. So, but also doesn't make any sense book-wise, because men can't train women and vice versa. Women can't train men because it's two different types of power.
Okay, well, and she doesn't train him. So, oh, I see what you're saying, but she acts like she could have.
Exactly. She implies that she could have.
Well, she could have just kind of like tried, like whether she can actually teach him how or not. She could just be like, you know, use your feelings, Luke, you know, because that's basically what she ends up doing.
Yeah, she could have gave him some pointers or maybe some shit to like watch out for, you know. Well, and one of the things Ishmael says, he's like, don't fight it or whatever. And it's like, that's kind of, Sidene's kind of the opposite. It's like, you have to fight it or it'll sweep you away.
So was he actually trying to get him to use the power to become powerful, or was he trying to get Rand to use the power so he could steal it?
I think he just could only do a certain amount, and he was tricking Rand to breaking the seal to let him free completely.
Oh. I think that it was a twofold thing. I think that he was actually trying to get him to submit to the Dark One, right? But failing that, if that doesn't work, I'm going to get you to break the seal.
Yeah, that's kind of a long shot. We're like, we're going to just throw it out there and see what happens. But if not...
If not, I'm going to still get you to break the seal. Let me loose.
Okay.
And I think that's... Yeah, that's what ended up happening.
Can... I keep forgetting what his fucking name is. The Dark One. What
Ishmael.
Ishmael. Thank you. Ishmael. Can he only really communicate with the Dragon Reborn? Or could he... So could he... Before they go mad, if he could... Could he have... somehow gotten another male Aes Sedai to the seal to just release some power and try to break it, in theory?
In theory, yeah. You'd have to be incredibly strong.
Okay, it does have to be a powerful...
Again, books, TV show, whatever. He, you know, Rand has a sawing grill at this point.
Yeah.
And he would have to be like... I don't know if even Loghain would be as strong enough to do what Rand had done.
Yeah, unaided, especially with the sawing grill, Rand is really strong. Because Rand's way stronger than Loghain even without that.
Yeah, and Heartstone, which is Quindiar, which is the seals are made out of. Even if you're the super strongest, you know, if you put all the power you have with the sawing grill, you still can't break it.
It's supposed to just make it stronger, right?
It just say, yeah, exactly. And the way that the Dark One breaks it is with the true power. He can break it with the true power.
Okay, I didn't pick up, for some reason, I thought like the Quindiar was like how you make glass with dropping lightning on sand. Like, I thought the Quindiar was like produced because of the power that was dropped on the seal. But the seal is just made out of it.
Yes.
Okay. I take back my comment about the Quindiar being the key to the whole thing.
I mean, it could be important, but, you know, I think it's just more, it's like, yeah, you're not supposed to be able to break this. Yeah, the way she like holds it up, it seems to have some reverence, like fucking kryptonite or something. So,
well, it's supposed to be the Dark One's kryptonite, but now she realizes it's not strong enough.
Yeah, the crumbling, because they were made with Sidene only and it's corrupted. So,
how did you like the branch falling jump scare?
Yeah, what the fuck was that about? I didn't notice that the first time and I was like...
I didn't either.
I don't ever
remember. And then I noticed that it was just like, was that something that just happened and they just like left it in? It was like, you know, one of the props fell or something? It was like... Because they both just kind of look at each other like, what the fuck's that about? I don't know. Let's keep moving.
The blight is crumbling.
Just leave it in.
Yes, that's what it was. It was, listen, guys, we have to stretch this episode out and we our budget and COVID has killed us and we don't know what to do. We had all these like ideas of what we're going to do. We were at a place picked out and now we don't have that.
They're kicking us out of the country tomorrow.
Yes.
So let's go.
Right.
You grab this end and I'm going to grab that end and we are going to stretch.
They're working their way through the blight while Faldara is, they see the Trollocs coming. So they're preparing for their battle as Rand is starting to realize that, you know, all of this shit is real. He's preparing for his simultaneous battle and shit's getting real.
Yeah, lots of Trollocs, lots and lots of Trollocs. And, well, Ishmael seemed surprised at the Heron mark, I noticed.
Yes.
But he was like, hey, where'd you get that? But then, yeah, no, Faldara, it's like, how many Trollocs do you think that was, dude? They say 10,000, 20,000, but it's like, you look at that one look and they're like all the way through the gap, dude. There's so many.
Yeah, they are coming. And I always forget that they catch them for a while at the gap, at the gate of the gap.
Yeah, there's like a
fortress there or something.
Yeah, some sort of fortress blocking the gap where they're supposed to try to hold.
Some they can launch arrows at. They do a pretty good, they do an all right job up there, but there's just too many of them.
Yeah, there's 20,000 of them probably.
So immediately Ishmael puts Rand in a dream world. Sorry, I'm not remembering my terms right. Is that Matt C'Thun they're talking about, or do they also have a son named Matt? Egwene in this dream, Egwene and Rand.
I didn't notice that. I didn't notice the part about Matt. What are you talking about?
They come out and they say when Rand exits the house, she says, "Did you finish the lantern? You know you're gonna have to finish the lantern." Because Matt will never do it right or something like that.
I just think they're saying that, you know, they're all back in the Two Rivers and Matt's there. Because Rand is worried about, at this point, Rand is worried about Matt because he disappeared.
Why did I write down Tarmon Gaiden?
That's the last battle.
Yeah.
That's what they call it.
Did they say that?
Oh, they did.
Yeah. Yeah, they do say Tarmon got it. Because when they talk about the horn.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yes, yes, yes.
Dude, Nynaeve says something about not being able to listen to the wind anymore, but Nynaeve still can. Like, what's that about? She's like, ever since I could channel.
You mean Egwene still can?
What I say. Yeah, that's what I mean. Hey, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, no, exactly. Nynaeve's like, ever since I started channeling, I can't listen to the wind anymore. So
yeah, that's weird. I don't know what that's about.
Because like, she's definitely not listening to the wind anymore. She's talking to the wind.
Yeah, she's like, what do you hear? She's like, I don't know. It was like winter night, except if that was a whisper, this is a scream, you know? So obviously she can still do that shit. But I'm just, I don't know. What's that about? Is there any significance to it, or just like, no?
Like I said, I think it's because she's so powerful. Like Moraine tells her earlier, like, it's not, you don't listen to the wind, you talk to the wind. And I think this is even more proof that like the wind doesn't talk to her anymore. She tells the wind what to do.
I wonder if they're going to pump Egwene up to be more powerful than Egwene, because even at the end, when they're at the height of their...
He did it again. He did the opposite.
Dang it.
Is he going to... They're going to make Egwene more powerful than Egwene.
And then Nynaeve, son of a bitch.
Not in this show. We know that Judd has a boner for Nynaeve. So seriously, she's going to be a badass.
That's what I think. But, and you know, in the books, she is, even though Egwene's very powerful, Nynaeve still just fucking is like, you know, dwarfs her in the power.
She's the next Marvel tier higher.
Yeah, definitely.
Or DC tier or whatever it is.
She is the Scarlet Witch.
Yes.
I think so, because I think from what little I've gleaned from you guys talking ahead, like Egwene's, like Nynaeve's going to be the soldier. Like Egwene's obviously going to, you know.
She's going to be the general.
She's going to battle. But yeah, she's going to be at the top and Nynaeve's going to be down there doing the dirty work and just fucking everything up.
So. Yeah, she's more like the Green Beret. She sneaks in and does stuff.
I just feel like I'm not mad that they're giving her some powerful scenes, because I said, you know, if they do get to do it to fruition, she's going to be very important in those scenes. And you have to have proper build up to let her know that she's, like you said, it's like, oh, all of a sudden she's, you know, a level 12. It's like, no, you need to know that she's on that level from fucking basically the beginning and getting stronger.
Yeah, she starts off head and shoulders above everybody else and then just keeps going and keeps going. Yeah. I still love Ishmael's clothes. All I can say, the only thing that comes through my head whenever I see him, it's just Iran by a Flock of Seagulls. I could just
he was the keyboardist for like Duran Duran, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Introducing Ferris.
That's right. Because I noticed the sleeves last time. I didn't realize the shirt that as much until this time. The three layers of the shirt.
So cool.
Fucking A.
So he was cool. In Robert Palmer's backup band. You can see him on the that one video with all the chicks with the slick back hair.
Don't you wish you had one of those as a chef coat, Justin, with three separate towels hanging off you?
Yes. I don't know.
Obviously.
Just say fuck yeah.
Fuck you.
Moraine is stilled as fuck.
She's not stilled.
She's gentled.
Shielded. She's shielded.
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 Oh, that's right, because then she can get it back.
Yes.
If you're stilled, you're fucked for life.
Maybe. As far as anyone knows, yeah.
In the beginning, let's put it that way, in the beginning of the books.
That's how they sell it to us.
Exactly.
And they start, yeah, she gets stilled and they start digging for the horn. So where's the horn in the books?
That annoys the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where's the horn in the books again?
This annoys the fuck out of me. I was actually going to skip this, but go ahead.
First of all, I'm fine with the horn not being 1,000 pounds. I'll just say that.
He just picks it up and puts it under his arm like it's a laptop.
It's not the horn. That box looks like it's styrofoam.
Totally does.
Slap some gilding on it. It'll be fine. This bugs the shit out of me because, especially, okay, I know I'm going to cross up, but so like in the books, you know, Jeremy, I know they're better.
Thank you.
Aglamar and Ingtar, they're very much about the horn. And, you know, if I were to blow the horn, I would have so much glory and I would destroy the shadow and this and that and the other thing. So the fact that it's been buried in Shinar this whole time and they know about where it is and they just haven't busted it out, I don't buy that for fucking 2 seconds. that really bothered me actually on rewatch. I'm like, dude, the whole thing is when they fucking finally do figure out that they have the horn, everybody's like, ugh, just coming in their fucking pants about it, because they're like, you know, I would be the greatest warrior of all time if I had the heroes of the horn to ride with me. It's, you know, and it's just this kind of stupid warrior glory. So to act like they have it the whole time and they just, you know, weren't going to use it, it pisses me off, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it's, but they can write it completely different, right? If they want to, if that's what they, and they're going to have to, because like you said, it is what they want to do. They wanted to take this horn and blow the horn and then just ride to Shia Ghul. That's their whole, like, they, but the horn also says on it, let whoever blows me not think of glory, but of salvation.
Salvation, yeah.
So they're like, we know that we can't blow it because we're thinking of the glory of actually going there and stopping the Dark One.
From the show, I think so far they've sold them as very, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like trustworthy warriors, like warriors that would guard it for when it was really needed. And so I, yeah, what you guys are pulling from the books, I haven't gotten that yet, that these bastards would blow it any chance they get to rule the world.
Yeah, it's not even that. They would do it, but they would do it for the wrong reasons, right? They would do it because they want glory and they want to be the one who did it.
And what happens if you blow it for glory?
It's Gonzo. It's just, you know, chicken flies out of it. Pretty sure.
Oh, God.
It's Gonzo.
Well, you hear in the book, they say, you know, we follow the dragon banner. So you could blow the horn. If you don't have the dragon banner, they're not going to do anything. At least that was the way I took it.
Yeah.
Because you could blow them, they'll show up. They'll be like, what's up, dude? How's it going? You could blow them. you could blow the horn. Yeah, we'll show up if you blow us.
We'll line up the 99 like circus seals.
Fuck it. No, you can blow the horn. I think they'll show up. But if you don't have the dragon banner, I don't think you can like command them into battle.
So I don't remember. So it's blown twice in the books. Twice. That's it.
Except when Tom is playing it by the fire a few times. No, I'm just kidding.
But then it just sounds like a harmonica.
Sometimes I like to smoke a pipe with my friend Arthur Hawkwing.
I just blow it when I need some backup singers, man. Sometimes I need someone to sing with. Bring them on. So speaking of babies, how fucking creepy is that frozen baby on Rand's ranch?
I know. It's just all like, Well, and that's...
How do they freezy Gwen? Is she...
She's just sitting there because her hair's blowing. She's like this.
Is it?
Yes. It's the mannequin challenge, dude. They train that baby so good.
She kills it.
She does. She does a good job.
She does a really good job because I kept looking at it.
No blinking, no nothing.
Trying to, because there's a couple times with close ups. I'm like, okay, she's just holding her pose. But like.
Holding her what? Her what? Her. Egwene's holding her posy.
She's holding her posy. And I forget what his name is, but I think what's his name should have wore daddy's armor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he got staked. Dude, I was going to say, do you think that there's something, do you think it's like power rot armor or is it like fucking, it's mithril. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is.
No, I was going to say, mithril, do you think it's some dead. Sort of, a, yeah, do you think it's some sort of a, well, she ends up wearing it, right? Is that not her dad's armor? Is different armor?
I thought that was her armor.
It was. No, because, yeah, dad's armor.
Do you think her armor's like a Turing reel? Or is it just whatever?
I don't think so. I think it's just regular armor. Not that she needed it.
She's such a turd. She freaks out when she feels naive strength. She's like, oh, my God.
You're so strong.
Yeah, is that... I didn't hate that as a show watcher, but is that, like, really outside of the books of her... I mean, I guess it's not. I guess if anyone gets that much power...
What exactly?
That character being so power hungry.
No, to be honest, if someone... You know, do you think about it, if someone who went to the tower and they really wanted to be Aes Sedai, but they really just can't channel that much, which she eventually got basically put out of the tower because she was not strong enough to pass and become full Aes Sedai. That being said, like, she kind of tries to show off to Moraine a little bit, like, oh, look, I can light the torches, you know, but that's like the extent of her power. So someone who all they've ever wanted to do is channel, then they get this, like, this strength that is just beyond anything they could have imagined. Like, that's totally a possibility.
Yeah, that's true. I forget they do talk about that she, like you said, was kicked out of the tower, basically. So
You would think that someone who was trained in the tower would have been like, whoa, holy shit, this is too much for me. But, you know, if that's, you know, it's like anything. If that's all you ever wanted, you just are like, oh, God.
Well, especially when you destroy 20,000 Trollocs, you're like,
if suddenly I became Wolverine, I'd probably slice some shit up with my claws. Hey, can I cut this tree down? Yeah, I can. I already did.
Yeah, and it's kind of a open secret in the, you know, among the Aes Sedai, that they kind of rank themselves in who's strongest. So
definitely.
Yeah, if you've been around for a long time, but somebody comes in and they're more powerful than you, they can channel more than you can. They start to defer to them.
Okay.
They could be centuries old still. They don't matter.
Exactly. And when Rand starts something different with the men, he was like, we're not turning anybody away. If you can channel, you can channel, and we'll figure out something you can do. And as Justin has said several times, one of his favorite guys can barely channel, but he can do one thing really cool. And that one thing, he uses it to his advantage.
Fuck yeah. I like that the whole dark side of the Force is powered by want. I didn't really catch that before, that they really kind of pound that in. Like when Ishmael is standing behind her.
It's not even dark side. It's just like you can, you know, he's so powerful, he can just make it anything.
Which is a bad power. If you're making a Gwyn be a housewife.
I mean, which one of us?
If you're using it to subjugate people, yeah, it's Jeremy.
I'll stop talking.
Can't turn a hoe into a housewife. Oh.
We're the worst.
So, yeah, so that wasn't, but that's what, like, but he was using that. I mean, Ishmael was using that to try to get him to, you know, because at the same time he's talking to Moraine and he's like, you don't even know what he's choosing yet. And at the same time he's talking to Rand, just be like, put all of your want into this baby.
Mm-hmm.
Use all of your want. And so don't put your want in this baby. Is that illegal?
What's the deal with this baby?
This frozen baby.
Thaw out this baby. That's all you gotta do. Yeah. Just thaw out this baby.
You're gonna need so much Cydene to thaw out this baby. This frozen baby. And then, yeah, parent starts chasing Pot on Fane around.
Yeah, you know what? I was so happy with him last episode, and then this episode he got just annoyed. This is bullshit.
He got shafted in this episode. It wasn't his fault, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't write his lines. He didn't write his lines.
Exactly.
Well, and do you think he was even supposed to be there in the original script?
Probably not. Honestly.
Wait, what?
No, I think, honestly, the whole...
Do you think they were going to try to send them all to the Eye?
Well, if you think about it, I think the whole part where they say whoever goes to the Eye is going to die is a good reason for them not to go there. And then for the whole COVID thing, it gives them a reason to keep people separated. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
God, you know, that's something I forget about. You start thinking about all the like one-on-one scenes that they had in this episode. Lan and Nynaeve. Lan and fucking Moraine.
Yes.
Rand and Moraine.
Egwene,
you know,
and Nynaeve.
Or, you know, Egwene sitting on the bed. Perrin and Nynaeve. They are standing across the room the entire time.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm like, you know.
They must have had an outbreak or something. They must have had an outbreak because the first couple.
No, you just got to think when they were filming it. It's going to be 2019 when they were filming it. It was fucking height of COVID.
No, 2020.
But every episode wasn't like that, though. Like, it got worse.
It was the end. It didn't break. They started shooting in
2019. Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, I was saying they started shooting in 2019 and then COVID just got fucking out of hand everywhere.
Was no COVID when they started shooting. Okay.
Exactly.
Jesus, I forget they started that early. So yeah, they were shitting bricks then. Fucking January 2020. Like,
yeah.
It was literally just a minute, you know, like a thing. They just had to finish it. You know, and it was just like, and they, you know. Otherwise, they weren't going to get a second season. And it's like they almost got fucked by COVID. I think I'm super excited for the second season.
Fuck yeah.
Just seeing the trailers, I'm like, dude.
Did you see? I got fucking.
Try some positivity, you fucker.
Oh. That's what the finger crossed thing is for.
That's positivity.
That's my positivity.
I got my boner chopped off tonight. I got so excited.
What? Trying to take a bong hit, bro. What are you talking about?
That's the first bong spit take I've ever heard.
I literally almost just blew bong water everywhere.
So I watched the episode earlier today, and on Amazon it had the regular Wheel of Time thing that I clicked on. Tonight, when I went to push play before recording, they had a new fucking emblem to click on. And I was like, oh, fucks. This must be their, like, season two is coming. Like, this must be it. And I fucking immediately started Googling. There's still no word season two is there. But there is. I don't think there's been a season one button under that until tonight. Like, I think it doesn't say season two, but there is a season one button. So they're, like, prepping for it.
Well, they said that the origins were supposed to start coming out in August. You know what? It changes all the time.
It does. It hasn't changed forever.
Sometimes it's just a picture of Moraine. Sometimes it's a picture of all seven of them.
I think you're a liar, Grandpa.
Okay.
Because Amazon doesn't do it as much as like Netflix. Like Netflix bases its picture on your watching habits.
Right.
Like you and I, if we're watching the same movie, it'll have a different picture because it knows that, like, I like the hero's journey, so there's just a picture of Rand. You like ensembles, so it's a picture of all of them. You know, Jeremy only watches girl porn, so it's just a Gwen and Nynaeve.
Oh, algorithm.
Wait, what?
That's going to get him in trouble. Amy's going to be like, what? Wait, you watch girl on girl porn?
What? No.
You're like, no, that was Desmond.
Desmond said that.
Desmond, I need all of your unedited audio so Amy can listen to it. So does Pot on Fane definitely have the dagger?
Definitely.
Definitely. They show a close-up of it. And it's got that little, like, weird turned up thing at the end, which is very you know.
Like this.
Yeah. And then it has the ruby in the dagger, in the hilt.
Where did he get, he had to have gotten the dagger from Leandrin, right? Probably.
Who had it last? Or,
you know, obviously.
Landed.
Well, Moraine and Lan. They took it to the tower.
She takes it out of Matt's hand, right? And then it, like, flies over and it's, like, trying to, like, you know, like, go into her mouth, and then she puts it, and then Lan grabs a box, and he, like, goes and closes it on top of it, and then that's the last time you see it.
He puts, like, a scarf on it or some shit.
Yeah, I think he just covers it. I don't think he boxes it up, but he does.
He wraps it up.
He keeps it wrapped, yeah.
Okay, he keeps it under wraps.
Lan keeps it wrapped, absolutely.
Yeah, he does. He doesn't want any creepy frozen babies.
Nynaeve had the longing for Lan's penis. Dude, the women of Faldar are straight badasses, though. They're all got swords and shit. Well, I mean, they're not that badass. They get sliced up. The Kingfisher rises over the pond. They get their fucking throats cut real quick, but...
Well, they're clearly dark friends, so that's cool. Nobody cares.
The people who opened the gate weren't dark friends, were they?
The ones that let Pod and Fane in.
Well, then why did he kill them?
Because... Oh, you know what? Maybe you're right.
I don't think they were dark friends, dude.
No, they weren't. They were just...
That's like the secret. That's like the secret gate entrance code. It's like drink more Ovaltine. That's like they, you know, because that's why she was like, "How did you get those words?" Ovaltine. So somebody obviously gave him the password to get let into the little dog gate or whatever they call it.
I was totally thinking that that's what it was.
I was saying if they let him in, why would they just fucking slice him, man? I mean, I guess to make it look
makes no sense. Yeah, they could. Well, I mean, you know, they're bad guys, so that no one knows bad guys' ways. They could do whatever they want. It's a TV show.
Bad guys be bad guy.
Do you think they're going to make Pod and Fane, you know, just a good baddie, or they're going to make him as crazy as they do in the show or in the books?
Oh, I don't know, man. I hope they make him a good baddie.
Oh, you know what I did like? Agelmar says, may the last embrace of the mother welcome you home when he knows he's going to fucking die. That was pretty cool. I did not catch that.
That was cool.
Yeah.
I love how Nynaeve and Egwene just walk up to the other chicks like, yeah, we're here. It's all good. So I don't give a fuck.
So you guys realize that Nynaeve is a zombie now, right?
Yeah. Technically, she is undead.
She is undead.
Yeah, because how's she still talking when her eyes are just burnt the fuck out? Just like, you're never alone and you're always alone. And her face is just crusted and burnt like lava, looking like Anakin on Mustafar.
She's Nynaeve. She gets all the cool parts.
Again, you know, I just think, yeah, not to be overly critical, but why would you... just not flip the two.
Flip the two what?
Why wouldn't you just flip Egwene and Egwene? I mean, Egwene and Nynaeve. I did that. That one was on purpose, though. That one was on purpose. You know, Nynaeve is the healer, so why wouldn't you just... and do you think that she snapped the weave off so as to try to save Egwene, right?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Again, Emilisa's a turd. Why? You know what? They had already killed all the Trollocs and she just kept fucking freaking out. But no, like I said, I just don't understand why we wouldn't switch the two. Nynaeve is the healer. She's already healed Egwene majorly once in her lifetime. I'm not mad. I'm not mad because it's like, okay, that's the power. Okay, I get it. But you know what? It's one of the things, I hate to go all Jeremy here, but in the books, Egwene's not a healer.
Preach.
They have, Egwene, Elaine, they do have minimal skills with healing. You know, they can heal a broken bone.
Minimal.
They can heal, some cuts, but minimum. they could, you know what I mean? They got to, her skill with healing is not like just got burnt to a crisp and I'm going to fix it. Like that's like some Nynaeve type shit is needed. And I wish that's one of the things if I ever sat face to face with, Judd Rafkins, I'd fucking ask him, dude, what's the deal?
Judd Rafkins.
Rafe Judkins. I know his name. I'm just joking. Ha 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 ha. I would just be like, okay, what, why? Just why? Just why? Why would be my question. I'm like, no reason, but it's like, I hope there's a reason.
My question would be like, why not take the 2 seconds to show her veiling herself before she killed people when you went through the whole point?
This is the same thing. This is the same.
You know what? Dez with the baby, you with the veil.
Dude,
just let it go, man. Both of you, move it. It's almost season two. You need to move on.
I will never let it go.
Will you forget about the stuff you hate if season two is just fucking epic?
Oh, absolutely. It'll be like first season of The Office or the first season of Parks and Rec.
He's such a liar, Dez.
No.
He's such a liar. I'm going to call out so hard. I can't wait for season two.
Not even true.
Like, I hate it. I'll be like, shut up.
That is not true. The first season of Parks and Rec is so bad. It's not funny at all. And I never go back and watch it. And I just started the second season.
Episode 5 is the best episode of that whole fucking series.
Season 1, episode 5?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you stay with episode 5 and 6 and then you start with the next season, because there's only like 6 episodes in the first season, I think.
There is. Wait, so we're talking about Parks and Rec?
The sister city? Yes,
dude. That's one of my favorite shows of all time.
This is Desmond chiming in right now to say that we were wrong. Sister City is season 2, episode 5, so I still don't agree with Jeremy that season 1 is terrible, but the best episode ever is season 2, episode 5, Sister City. And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
Believe it or not, you overcooked chicken? Jail.
You undercooked chicken? Undercooked chicken? Jail.
No, that's not in season 1.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
No. Is it season 1? Okay, that is the best. You're right. That is a great episode. Yes. That show is hilarious. That episode is hilarious.
It is much better than your horrible, disgusting alleyway of a city.
Why don't you just build a park here?
If I get to choose, I would also like the large black woman. If we get to choose.
Which is hilarious nowadays when you're like, oh, what country are they from? Venezuela.
They're from Parma, Stan.
Sorry, what was your question about this show that we're doing a podcast about?
You watched Last Man on Earth? Jail. You don't watch Last Man on Earth? Jail.
Also jail.
So what are they setting Matt up for? They make him look really...
Well, how do they miss, 20,000 Trollocs when they're going to the Blight? Also.
Poor Dez. Sorry, Dez. I interrupted him. He's trying to get this really good thing out.
No, let's go back.
Out.
We're going back.
I interrupted him.
Let's go. Because I'm definitely getting into the crew.
Could you imagine what our childhood was like?
Oh, my God. I feel so sorry, Dez. I'm so sorry.
Don't worry. I know what I signed up for. This is great.
No, we're terrible.
I wonder our parents hate us.
We're the worst. Really, we are. It was bad.
Justin, you know what Justin taught me? Sometimes it's...
Patience.
Oh, yeah, like I had to learn how to just like walk away from him mid-sentence because like if I just stay and listen to it all, I'll never get anything done. And so I just, I had to learn a year or two into our friendship. Like if I need to do the dishes, I just need to walk away from him and do the dishes.
I'm going over here. And if you want to keep talking, you got
to
come with
me. You don't just leave the room or tell me to shut the fuck up. I mean, I'm better now, but, only slightly.
He didn't have to shut up. I just realized I did not have to address him the whole time he was talking if I wanted to get anything else done.
Yeah, you didn't need to. I didn't need to like tell me to shut up. Just you didn't have to listen either.
Yeah, exactly.
My problem is I have to vomit everything out of my mouth that I'm thinking, or else I'll forget it. And then I'm just like, I gotta get it out.
All of it.
Exactly that.
Let me vomit this into your earballs.
Tell me about these Trollocs, Justin. What about these 20,000 Trollocs?
What? I was just saying, like, it's like, there's only like kind of one like real long, you know, like pathway. And then, you know, that's where Rand and Moraine walked. And they somehow did not come into contact with.
Oh, did they go through the gap? They went through the gap?
Yes. They walked right. They went through the fortress and nobody noticed, first of all.
Yeah. Totally, fully, because they did make a mention of like at one point, Rand and Moraine do hear the Trollocs running past them somewhere, somehow around the Blight. But you're right, with 20,000 of them.
Yeah, they suddenly look back and they're like, oh, where are those Trollocs going? It's like,
how do you go around the Blight?
They took the south road. Yeah, they took the south road. Yeah, you don't. All the way across the continent. You don't go around it. It's not a thing. It's even across the ocean, actually.
That way, Blight.
Believe it or not, also Blight.
You go west, Blight. You go east, Blight. East, west, also Blight.
I did think that like the visuals of the linking and the channeling was pretty cool. They do need to get more into the mechanics of channeling season 2, especially for the men. But
we're going
to
talk about Matt.
Oh, that was what you were asking.
What?
Yeah. They show the quick scene of Matt and they're talking about, you know, how there has to be evil to be good. Potonfane is giving his little speech. And then they show Matt, I think, looking at the like a black tower, or is he in Shadar Logoth? Where is he?
No, I think he's just showing back up at
Tarvalon.
It's in Tarvalon. It's just night, like getting to be nighttime, I think.
He looks evil, though. Like they're definitely like, I think he's going to start off. I mean, I don't know how bad Matt goes in the books, but I feel like they're setting him up to start on the dark side in season 2. Or will he show up at the tower, or is he going to the tower looking disheveled and they're going to suck the evil? Well, he doesn't have the fucking the daggers long gone. So
see, that's okay. You know, and Jeremy, you know, feel free to jump in. That's part of my problem with Matt taking off and then Ped and Fane already having the dagger, like. One of the things is they cannot release Matt from the dagger without the dagger being present. And they haven't, you know, they heal him three times total. So they heal him twice before they're able to take him to the bowels of the tower. And like, there's like, what, like, I mean, there's six sisters, I think, that are channeling to break his connection to that dagger. So
I would not be surprised if they're just like, he's broken.
Moraine did it.
It should be for the TV show. Oops, Moraine severed them from the dagger. I would say like I think they really don't. They really shouldn't go back with it.
Yeah,
because it doesn't have that much importance per se. But maybe he needs to get healed one more time because, you know, Moraine didn't get it all or some shit.
It's possible. You know, he still looks very like.
Because why would he go back to the tower unless he was still, you know, feeling wonky?
Well, where else is he going to go after leaving the Way Gate?
That's kind of where he was.
Back home.
Well, he was there. Like, that would be his first stop, I guess, on the way home, if he was going
to
still go.
That just really sucks for the show that Barney left, because it had to have been something shitty, because I'm sure that there would have been, even if it was only in half of episode 7, they would have made his exit something different.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was definitely not the way that they wanted to do it. It makes no sense.
I was so excited when it first came out. I really didn't see the effect that COVID had on the show. And, you know, basically most of the stuff that I'm kind of like, ugh, not all of it. Some of it I'm just kind of like, I don't get that. And like writing wise, but most of the stuff visually or story wise in the show that I didn't like or didn't get is probably due to COVID. And while it sucks, I'm just, at least, you know, I hate to say it gives them an excuse, but it kind of does.
It's for them to get it out at all, whatever excuse they needed. Yeah.
And I didn't think that it was that big a deal until we talked to the editor. He was relaying the stuff that he had found out like the last, I mean, I think we knew that the last couple episodes we had found out that, you know, they were affected by COVID because Rand put on like 15 pounds of muscle and was wearing a wig. And you're like, wait, what? That, why does he look so much different? Oh, that's weird. Okay. And
on that Marvel diet.
He's on that Marvel diet.
You know what? There's no rule against performance enhancing drugs in acting.
Exactly.
In fact, I think you have to take them to get the leading role.
Pretty much.
You can shoot up the steroids directly in your penis if you want. It does not matter. Why the fuck did I write down fishes? I literally have a bullet point just says fishes.
They're flopping around because the women are flopping around like fishes.
That's exactly what it was. That's exactly what it was.
That's hilarious.
And then also I have written down, oops, I loosed the Forsaken. Which I also thought was pretty good.
That is good.
That's awesome.
I like it when I can't even keep up with my own stupid fucking
what
jokes.
I know, it makes so much sense when you're watching the show and then you're reading it, it's like, what?
And it wasn't like I wrote like fishes question mark. It was just like fishes. That's all I wrote. Fishes.
Got it.
Fishes. right below, Loial got stabbed in his fucking heart with that dagger. How the fuck are they going to save him?
Oh, you know why? He's a Time Lord. He has two hearts.
I don't even know what that means.
He's a super nerd joke. Dez, do you know?
Time Pop knows what it means.
Exactly. Dez knows.
I'm going to go throw a football just so I can fucking get away from this conversation.
He's the doctor. Yeah. What? No. It's just the doctor.
What?
Dr. Fishes.
So we then go to the far western. So the show's over.
The show's over.
Rand wanders off. Moraine is caged. Lan is sad because he's not going to have a bond anymore. Perrin is brooding. Matt is looking like hell worn over. The girls are healing each other. We'll see you next season. And then we go,
oh, by the way,
to the far western shore.
Well, one of the things is Pod and Fane tells Perrin how important they all are.
Yeah.
Also, he's like, yeah, you know, Rand might be the dragon. He's like, but you all have your part to play. And I feel very happy just about that statement because Perrin and Matt, while they are not the dragon, are integral to his success. His other two, Taviren, well, I guess they say five, technically, but he would not succeed. And I mean, I am okay with them saying that there's five Taviren because they're also very important to the main events of this, you know, age.
You talk about the show, jail. You don't talk about the show? Still jail. So I haven't been able to remember their names since I watched it this afternoon. I couldn't even remember it when I was watching it. Who's coming ashore?
Sean Chan.
So they don't have leashes.
They have those like collar things.
But they don't have leashes.
They just have the collar.
Yeah.
I believe the other ones had some like bracelet clasps and they're probably connected somehow.
I mean, they're definitely connected, but they don't have the physical connection that the book has of like having them on a leash, which is fine, I guess. And I guess putting a human on a leash, even for a show, might just be a step too far. Just like
at this point, the way things are, maybe that's they may just be trying to avoid that action, which is understandable.
Well, there's not. Are you watching it, Jeremy?
I'm watching it. There's no leash.
There's no leash.
You're right.
Yeah.
No, there's definitely no leash.
And yeah, I still don't understand, because when the Sean Chan, when they're channeling, it seems like there's some power coming from the upper deck, and then down below is the Sol Dam and the whatever.
The money.
The way it works is that while technically what it is the Damani are pulling the power sort of through the Sol Dam while they control what they do, or they kind of instruct them what to do.
Okay.
It's kind of like a link that they're in control of and they don't even realize that they can channel to.
Right.
Because otherwise they wouldn't be able to do anything.
They're going to learn.
Technically, that is very, very much true. Yep.
And I am so fucking excited for season two, man.
I'm ready for it.
Holy shit. This rewatch definitely did its job in jacking me up for what's to come. And like, I have fully processed season one now, and I'm just like, what's next, motherfuckers? And they give us a lot. Like, there's, you know, like I said, and this is after, you know, someone who has watched every episode several times, read the first two books for the first time, and like, there's a lot more in these shows than I gave it credit for before. Like, I felt like it was vague and confusing, and I was kind of, you know, worried for the show, you know, for people who might be watching it the first time. But if you watch it and you like it and you're taking it in, there's a lot of really fucking cool stuff here. And I think they're building several mystery boxes that they're going to open periodically through the series that I think is going to be pretty cool.
Yeah. Even I, you know, I've, from the beginning, I was like, I didn't like the show. I didn't like what they did with it. But even I, going back and watching it, there was a lot of stuff that I missed and a lot of stuff that they had set up that I didn't see. So, yeah, I'm much more excited for the second season. Much more.
Yeah.
Count me in as almost excited.
Son of a bitch. See, you had it good and then you ruined it.
He was right there. Thank the light. And thank you for listening to our podcast. Rate us, like us, tell a friend. Thank the light, everybody. Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parse to Ailman. That is Wolf Brothers at Parse to Ailman. Or you can send questions or comments directly to me at thankthelight@gmail.com. If you're looking for something else to listen to before our next excellent Thank the Light podcast, go to whatsoundsawesome.com. That is whatsoundsawesome.com. And while you're settling on that, I will just leave you with this. You are as beautiful as a sunrise and as fierce as a warrior.
You are a lioness, Desmond. And I will just say this, in the words of our favorite bartender, it's 11 a.m. What do you mean you don't want to drink? You're the ones in a bar.
That was my second choice for an outro, Justin. That was perfect. Right when I was talking, I looked down and I crossed off, you're the one in the bar. And I went with my other.
You're the one in the bar. Well.
Well.
And I'll just say that I'm really looking forward to the season, and I think that they'll do a good job. But if they don't, it's probably jail. And if they do a good job, it could also be jail. Believe it or not, jail.
Jesus Christ, I leave you guys alone for 3 minutes and you're on book 12. God damn.
We totally are.
You know what? Catch on board, bro.
Now I know what my purpose is in this show. To keep you guys from racing towards the end.
That is the total truth, man.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Personally, sir, my dookies have no more odor than a warm biscuit.
Let's be honest. These are going to be hour-long episodes anyways. We've talked about nothing for so long.
I literally can't say it, actually. I had to sign an NDA, so...